So thanks for the introduction. I'm Panagiotis, or Panos, and this talk is going to be about Neptune, a new task execution framework for modern unified applications. This is joint work with Konstantinos Karanas from Microsoft and my supervisor, Peter Pitsouk at Imperial College London. And Neptune is pretty much a data processing framework, and developers today want to use such frameworks to develop complex machine learning applications. So this figure here depicts as a production application implementing a real-time malicious behavior detection service. It consists of a training job and an inference job. The training job is using historical data to train a machine learning model, and the inference job is performing latest sensitive inference to detect malicious behavior. And it's doing so using the previously trained model, which is shared in memory across those jobs. So this is a new type of unified application design that allows jobs to easily share application state, application logic, even sharing of computation. So this is a new kind of opportunity that we have here. To support such unified applications, analytics frameworks such as Apache Hadoop, Storm, Hive, and Heron that were traditionally dedicated either to stream or batch processing evolved to unify different use cases by exposing different APIs. For example, remember how the DStreams API evolved on top of the traditional Spark RDD API to support stream processing for Apache Spark. However, using these different APIs, jobs were still deployed as separate applications at the cluster, so there was no true unification there. Only recently, some of those frameworks started exposing unified programming interfaces to seamlessly express different types of computation as part of the same application. So Spark Structured Streaming is an example. Flink Table API is another example that allow users to develop true unified applications. Those applications are known with different names. They are known as unified applications, continuous applications, complex applications. But for the remaining of the presentation, I'm going to refer to them as stream bats, where stream refers to the latency-sensitive part of the application, and bat refers to the latency-tolerant part of the application. So despite the unified application support from the API point of view I just described, there is very little done at the scheduling or execution side of those applications to satisfy the diverse job requirements. For instance, in the motivating example I gave you, we would probably want to execute the inference part of the application with low latency, so we have some latency requirements there, while at the same time, we don't want to compromise the throughput of the training jobs, of the batch jobs. And we want to achieve those goals or those requirements in the most resource-efficient way possible. So we don't want to buy new instances, spot instances, burstable instances, but we want to achieve the maximum out of our existing resources. And this is a new challenge I'm describing here of scheduling unified application jobs that easily satisfy the requirements and being resource efficient. And this is the focus of this presentation. So let's see, how would we schedule such an application, such a unified application in a unified data processing framework today? We will probably have some developers writing some application code, and this code will be submitted to a centralized driver using something like a Spark submit. And this driver, using the same application context, will run the application jobs by the DAG scheduler. The DAG scheduler will split the application into jobs and into stages. So these dashed rectangles here actually represent those stages. So we have the inference job here and the training job, each consisting of two stages. Within those stages, we have a number of computation tasks, taking some computation time T. And some tasks can be more computation intensive than others. For example, stage one of the training job is more computation intensive, taking 3T. And the actual number of tasks we have within those stages depends on the partitions, the data partitions these stages operate on. For example, stage one and two of the inference job operate on two partitions. That's why we have two stacks there, while stage one operates on four part of the training job operates on four partitions. That's why we have four tasks there. For the execution, what would be an approach that could actually satisfy the requirements I mentioned? So a typical traditional approach would be to use, that satisfies the requirements, would be static resource allocation, where we dedicate an amount of resources of it to each job. So for example, we can have two executors here, and we can split our cluster resources. So executor one could allocate 3/4 of our cluster resources, and we can use this executor to run the training job, which is more computation intensive. And we can use the remaining of the resources for executor two, so a single 1/4 of resources, to run the inference job. And then what we would do is we would schedule every stage of a job on its dedicated resources until they both complete. So in this scenario, what we can see here is that even though the stream job latency, so the red job latency, is low, it's around 40, is still 2 times higher than the ideal, which is 2t. And more importantly, we end up with a bunch of wasted resources in the middle, as in static allocation, we cannot share resources across jobs because these jobs are running in different executors. So this is a fundamental limitation of this static allocation approach. A more resource-efficient solution would be to use any of these unified frameworks I mentioned before, Spark Haiku Streaming, Flink Table API, that uses shared executors instead of statically allocated executors. So in these shared executors, we could start scheduling jobs that are by default submitted in a FIFO fashion. So FIFO fashion means that the first job submitted runs to completion. So assuming that it is the training job that it submitted first, it will use all resources until it completes, and then the inference job will be scheduled, as you can see here. However, with FIFO, we can cause significant queuing delays, especially when the jobs scheduled before the latent sensitive ones, before the red ones here, are long ones. And we end up with worse latency even compared to the static allocation scenario. So the fundamental limitation here is that long jobs can increase stream job latency. An alternative approach is to use the first scheduling policy. With first scheduling policy, we actually equal share resources across jobs. And this could be actually weighted. So in FAIR, we will first schedule 2 tasks from each job stage, and then the next equal share, and the next equal share until they both complete. And what you can see here is that even though FAIR can pack resources better, so you can see that both jobs complete in less time than FIFO, and we can even reduce the stream job response time by 2t compared to FIFO, we still have some queuing. And this is another fundamental limitation that we cannot achieve optimal latencies because we can still have some queuing caused by the long jobs. So no guarantees there. To avoid queuing delays completely for latency sensitive tasks or stream tasks here, it is possible to use something like non-work preserving preemption. So we can start killing tasks whenever we need resources for high priority tasks. So in that scenario, we would schedule tasks in a fair manner similar to before, and then when stream tasks, high priority tasks need to run, we would preempt already running bus tasks in favor of those, as you can see here. The problem is we would then have to restart all the killed tasks and lose any progress they made thus far, and we will have to do that until those jobs complete. And the main question I have here is that given that those low priority tasks and high priority tasks, stream tasks and bus tasks now share the same runtime, can we actually do better than killing tasks? And what we want to do instead is suspend low priority tasks in favor of high priority tasks and then resume them when we have available resources. And this is exactly what we want to do in Neptune in our system, minimizing queuing and wasted work. So there are a few challenges that we need to solve first. I just told you that we want to minimize queuing and wasted work, but how do we do that? We also would want to natively support StreamBat's unified applications without introducing extra and custom APIs that, like other people do. We want to natively support them. And we also want to satisfy a variety of application requirements and high-level objectives. Neptune is our new execution framework tackling those challenges with support for suspendable tasks that can minimize both queuing and wasted work. It is built on top of Spark Haiku Streaming, natively supporting StreamBat's applications, and introduces pluggable scheduling policies that can support a variety of StreamBat's applications and high-level objectives. For example, it can balance cluster load. First, in order to implement a suspendable task, we first studied how tasks are implemented in typical analytic frameworks today. And they're usually implemented as subroutines, pretty much applying a function to a partition of data. This data is given as an iterator usually, and these functions are implemented as subroutines, meaning that they run in an executor until they complete. So to give you an example, we have the executor stack here that wants to run a task. What will happen is the executor will allocate space for the return value of the function. It will add the function reference, and it will also allocate space for the variables in the intermediate state. And at the end of this computation task, this task will write some return value at the bottom of the stack. And now the executor is ready to run anything it wants, right? However, if we want to preempt this task, that is this running task, to run something that is higher priority, we have only 2 options. Either we have to kill the running task, losing any progress it made, or checkpoint all the intermediate state, leading to unpredictable times. Because most of the times, we don't even know how much state we have to capture or checkpoint in the middle. So instead, what we do in Neptune is we implement those computation tasks, the important computation tasks, using coroutines. These coroutines use a separate stack to store their variables in the intermediate state I just described, and also have yield points that can give control back to the executor when needed. So similar to before, when the executor wants to run a task that is now implemented as a coroutine task, it will use a special call function creating this coroutine stack, and it will allocate space for the function reference, the variables, and the state. And when it wants to preempt this task in order to run something that is higher priority, the only thing it has to do is actually mark the task context as paused, and then this computation task will yield in the next record iteration. So this is how we implement this type of cooperative type of preemption, where we can suspend and resume in milliseconds, and we can also avoid losing any work. So we preserve work. I also have to mention that it's super important that this whole computation functionality is transparent to the user. So we implement all the computation tasks using coroutines, but the users are still using the same, very same APIs for their computation. So it's transparent to the user. Now that I described those suspendable tasks, the problem is that we don't just assign tasks to executors, as analytics frameworks do, but we also have to decide when to suspend and when to resume them. And in Neptune, we support pluggable policies as part of the centralized scheduler, which decide when tasks get suspended and which tasks get suspended. So let me walk you through this through an application lifecycle here. So we have this application, this unified application consisting of multiple jobs. For example, an inference job and a training job. The only thing that users have to do is actually mark the high priority job, which would be the inference job, as high, and the training job could be marked as low priority job. Then the application will go through an optimization phase, creating a plan in the form of a DAG. The DAG scheduler will compute the execution plan of this job of the application, and will come up with a bunch of tasks that are ready to execute. Those tasks will be given to the task scheduler, and the task scheduler can decide to immediately run a task when we have available resources. So this is what happens in a typical case. However, when we have some high priority tasks pending, like here, and we don't have available resources, the scheduling policy can make extra scheduling decisions. For example, in this case, it can decide to suspend a low priority task, move it from the running queue to the pause queue, and run this high priority task instead. Of course, afterwards, when we have high priority tasks finishing, we will move the pause task from the pause queue to the running queue without losing any progress, and it will run from where it left off. As you can imagine, there are various system challenges involved here. For example, we want to make this task suspension decisions smart and fast. So one scheduling decision we made is to do the suspend and launch task in a single round trip. So we are not waiting for a task to suspend, but we do it on the same round trip. And another one is we added some extra executor metrics to make the scheduling decisions smarter or more involved. So the scheduling policy now knows which executors are memory pressured, and it avoids suspending tasks on those executors. And as you might realize, these scheduling policies are quite a vital part, an important part of Neptune, but the idea is pretty simple. These policies trigger task suspension and resumption in order to guarantee that high priority tasks can guarantee lower priority tasks, and also satisfy high-level objectives, such as balancing cluster load. And at the same time, we also wanted to avoid starvation, so avoid suspending lower priority tasks indefinitely. That's why we implemented in Neptune a simple anti-starvation policy, where we suspend the low priority tasks up to a number of times, and then we let it run uninterruptibly. And this is ensuring the progress of those tasks. We currently have implemented two scheduling policies in Neptune, simple policies, a load balance scheduling policy, that takes into account executor memory conditions and equalizes the number of tasks per node, and a locality memory aware or LMA scheduling policy that respects task locality preferences in addition to load balancing. Neptune is implemented on top of Apache Spark. It's open source, you can check it out, and we had to port all the computation functionality from the result tasks and the shuffle tasks across programming interfaces to use coroutines, so we had to re-implement them. And we extended the DAG scheduler to allow stages with different requirements by the users, like defined by the users, express as priorities. So now the DAG scheduler knows about them. And we also added the extra metrics I mentioned to the executors as part of the heartbeat mechanism to make sure these memory pressure metrics are given back to the scheduling policy. For the evaluation, we use the cluster on Azure with 75 nodes, and we run a bunch of workloads. We have the LDA workload, which is similar to the motivating example I gave you, with inference and training. We have the Yahoo streaming benchmark and TP-Shades. And in the interest of time, I'm going to focus on the first two now. So what I want to show you first is how Neptune compares with existing approaches in terms of latency. So we have this unified LDA application here, which is our motivating example, where the training jobs are using all available resources in the cluster. And the latency sensitive part is using just 15% of cluster resources. And what we did first is we ran the stream job, the latency sensitive job, isolated to get the ideal case for the stream latency. So as you can see here, the tail latency is below or around 2 seconds. So this is the ideal case, running the job in isolation. We then run the whole unified LDA application, consisting of training and inference, with FIFO and FAIR as implemented in Spark today. And as you can see here, we can reduce the 99th percentile latency by 37% compared to FIFO, but the median is still 2 times higher than running the job in isolation. And since we believe this could be caused by queuing, we also implemented the kill policy I described before, where we start killing tasks in favor of high priority tasks when needed. So as you can see here, kill can improve the median latency by 54% compared to FAIR, but still we have a quite high 99th percentile latency, 2 times higher than running the job in isolation. And the main reason for that is we cannot preempt more than a FAIR share of resources. Because we coupled this policy with FAIR, we still inherit its properties, right? We then run LDA, so the whole unified application with Neptune and the two scheduling policies I described, the LMA scheduling policy, locality and memory aware, and the load balancing scheduling policy, or LB. So you can immediately notice that we have quite tight distributions there, quite close to isolation, and more specifically, the LMA scheduling policy can achieve a 99th percentile, so tail latency, which is just 13% higher than running the job in isolation, and the LB is a bit worse, so 61% higher. The main reason for that is that for this specific application, task locality, data locality matters. That's why we can achieve better tail latency with the LB scheduling policy. For completeness, we also run the LDA application using static allocations. So use different executors for deploying the latency sensitive, latency tolerant part. And as you can see, even though we can have a quite tight distribution in latency, the tail latency is really high. The main reason is that executors on the same node, running on the same node, can interfere with each other. So the key takeaway here is that Neptune can achieve latencies comparable to the ideal for the latency sensitive jobs, which was one of the requirements of our work. Now, since some applications require more resources than others, what we want to measure here is measure the impact of increasing resources expressed in cores in Neptune. And to do that, we run 2 instances of YSB, a latency sensitive stream instance where we increase the cores used on the x-axis from 0% to 100%, and a BATS instance where it's using all the cluster resources. And what you can immediately see here is Neptune maintains low latency across all percentages, even though the tasks that might be suspended increase, which is actually showing the effectiveness of our repair queue mechanism. So 100%, we had to suspend all the running lower priority tasks there and then resume them immediately. Even though we had to do that, we still maintained low latency. And at the same time, as you can imagine, the preempted task batch throughput is actually dropping because we have to suspend them over and over and over again. But in this particular case, in this particular workload, this drop in throughput is below 2%. And in the paper, you can find applications where this matters more. But in general, what I want to show you here is that we can efficiently share resources with low impact in throughput in general. What I also like about this figure is that it's also like a glimpse from the past to the future, with 0% being a total static allocation share nothing approach, and 100% being a share everything approach, which I believe is going to be the future for our resources and for our clusters. So to sum up, I presented Neptune. Neptune is a new execution framework that supports complex unified applications with diverse requirements. It implements suspendable tasks using coroutines, and it also supports pluggable scheduling policies. And I believe, and we believe, it's the first step towards continuous unified analytics. Feel free to check the code out, feel free to write out, and ask me any questions. And I would like to conclude now, and yeah, I would like to take any questions.
All right, let's thank the speaker. In the interest of time, can we have the next speaker start setting up, and we can take one question, just so we can make sure we are at time on lunch.
So, hello, I'm Bunyamin Memishi from German Aerospace Center.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So can you say that again?
My question is related to killing or suspending the tasks. Mm-hmm. So basically, Is this? Have you seen if this is somehow can be related with the task size, for example? because led by the intuition, it gives me the impression that maybe smaller tasks, it is better to be killed than suspended.
You're right. I mean, it definitely does make sense. That's one of the reasons we started using this metrics of the executors. So what I noticed, for example, is sometimes we try to suspend tasks, and by the time we try to suspend them, they have already finished, right? But in that case, in our scheduling policy, it doesn't matter, right? Because by the time we launch the task, we don't suspend it, and we still have the resources we are trying to do. In the future, we can, of course, take more involved approaches where we use historical information to make sure that we only suspend long-running tasks. But in general, what we're trying to do here is a bit like orthogonal. So there was no policy that could guarantee no queuing, right? So this is the first step towards that, right? But you're right, we can do smarter things in the future, definitely.
All right, we're going to take the rest of the questions after the session, so we can take them all offline in the interest of time. So let's thank the speaker again.